Hi, I am the Strategist Cowboy. This week, I am reviewing an American IPA beer. It is an ale with a high ABV level. This week's first and only contestant is the beer assortment Raging Bitch IPA from the brewery Flying Dog. Where is it from, if not the Mecca of beers, i.e. Colorado?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant this week is thus the IPA beer assortment, Raging Bitch IPA. The ingredients in the Raging Bitch IPA beer assortment are water, barley malt, wheat malt, hops, and yeast. The malt is of the sort caramel malt. The hops are, according to the brewery, of the American sorts Warrior, Columbus, Amarillo. The yeast is called El Diablo. This beer assortment has got a fantastic IBU of 60. In theory, you can find this in both stouts and IPA beers, but it is not very common. The expiration date on this particular beer is the end of August 2023. Today it is mid-July 2023. The Raging Bitch IPA beer assortment comes in a size 35.5 centiliters, i.e. a 12 liquid ounces bottle. The two-folded bottle label is mostly yellow and orange in color. There's an image of a crazy bitch, no, I mean literally a dog, on the front label. It is a very artistic image, but I can probably guess why they got in trouble with certain guardians of morality. Let us just say that the image bitch has visually got both aggrandized titties and genitals. Really? It looks like the bitch has got a hamburger stuffed in sideways under its tail between its legs. You get the idea. I must say, it got me laughing when I first saw it. What crazy chaps. The Raging Bitch IPA cost me 28 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $2.60. That is 87 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. My gut feeling is that this is pretty cheap for what you get in return for the money. The preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is, according to Systembolaget, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The Raging Bitch IPA has got an 8.3% ABV level. 8.3%. How about the experience then? Oh yes, a very hoppy aroma, not surprisingly. But it's only got a 1 finger tall head. And that's odd. I think maybe 2 fingers. Yeah. And it's in color. It is. Well, it's cloudy and it's kind of brownish in color. Yeah. Very good aroma. Very good aroma. Well, first impression is this is spot on. This is a good beer. Because of the high level of hops, and the very rich, hoppy taste. Or flavor. It's very rich, this beer. It's almost bread-like in taste. Like some wort bread, a little bit lighter wort bread in that case. But it's bread-like. I think it's very bread-like. And perhaps a little bit yeasty, yes, it's yeasty. But it's hiding behind the hop feeling I get. Yeah, taste on my palate is of course hoppy. And it's not very sweet. But not completely dry either. But it's drier than sweet. It's bitter. Your tongue crumbles. Not almost, but it's hoppy. Very bitter and hoppy. And but it's not candy-like. It's not. And it's fruity, I think. Orange peely-like. And I don't think any other spices besides the hop is... any other spice is very prevalent in this. I don't think there is. There's no need for it. But it's possible. I don't know. Well, carbonation level. I don't know. I guess pretty high or normal. It's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's not dark roasted, but it's not very light roasted either. There's mostly barley malt taste in it, but I guess you can taste the wheat malt that's supposed to be in it. I don't think it's filtered. Let's see here. Other flavors like pineapple. No, I wouldn't say pine needle. No, definitely not. I don't think so, but I think they said there was in it. Well, someone said it was pine needle taste, but it's not. Pine needle is an aberration, and there's no pine needle taste in it. Apricot, light bread, banana. Let's see. No, I wouldn't say. Straw-like, perhaps a little bit straw-like, you could say. But not pine needle-like. Straw-like, perhaps. Perhaps. I wouldn't say so either, actually. Neither. No syrup. And no honey, no licorice, no clove, no... wait a minute. There's nearly almost a fudge-like taste in it. Because of the hoppiness, I guess. The flavor of the hoppiness. But I don't know. I shouldn't say too much. I don't want to say too much when I do my reviews. I don't want to put in more or different or other flavors than I really can know that I can ascertain in the beer. Chocolate, it's not chocolatey, of course. Coffee like no, raspberry no, blueberry no, mango no, tangerine. It's got orange peels in it, flavor. Raisin, no. Vanilla, no. Okay. One moment. Excuse me. So it got some carbonation level. What about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? Okay. Coming from the beer mecca, this beer too, it's a very good beer. I'm going to, because of the hoppiness in it, I'm going to grade this beer 10 devils out of 10 possible. It's so good. It really is. Raging Bitch IPA. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Possible shift in Biden's grand strategic plans. Never assume that a world leader is good. I want to emphasize the importance that we should not be naive. Biden is thinking of the United States and Americans when he conducts his politics. But if it does not affect the abilities for America or Americans to economically strengthen or at least maintain their leading position in the world, then of course he can throw a bone to a party outside of AUKUS and the border states of Canada and New Zealand, especially if Biden's country benefits from it. Israel also has a key position. but I can't really read out why the Israelis' treatment of the Palestinians and the West Bank plays such important roles in Biden's and Blinken's plans. However, you can read what Blinken said in black and white with the headline, US warns Israel, peace with Saud is getting tougher, if not impossible, on the online medium World Israel News on July 5th, 2023. Quote, we've told our friends and allies in Israel that if there's a fire burning in their backyard, it's going to be a lot tougher, if not impossible, to actually both deepen the existing agreements as well as to expand them to include potentially Saudi Arabia, said Blinken. He also said, quote, it's also, at least in our judgment as Israel's closest friend and ally, profoundly not in Israel's interest for this to happen, both because of the added degree of difficulty that this presents for pursuing normalization agreements or deepening them, but also because of the practical consequences, he added, end quote. Why is it not marginal? As for the importance of the Abraham Accords, I can understand why the US does not want it to develop between Israel and Saudi Arabia right now. But it doesn't seem like the host to the sky Israeli intelligence service, Mossad, really understands how the land lays or why it is so. They persist in opposing Biden's plans. They have done so for a long time. Of course, the Israelis have an interest in the Middle East, but they should have fathomed that it is not in their interest that the United States fall to pieces by internal division, like the Roman Empire once did. We here in Sweden observe how the Israelis act more and more like their antagonists in Iran, Lebanon, and Palestine. It's just that Israel is more powerful than their enemies, and they also have more powerful allies. Have we considered that Israel is a special country? It is the land where Judaism, Islam, and Christianity converge, in Jerusalem. In addition, there are elements of reincarnation in Judaism. We can think what we want about it, but the land of Israel is important to our own security. They are important to the whole of Europe's security. The Israelis know this. Why doesn't the EU realize this? It is mind-boggling to the Israelis, probably. We cannot let them perish. It seems as if we are needed all of a sudden. Saudi Arabia may be the new enemy. But don't listen too much when Biden says that, quote, we have always strongly supported Sweden to get Sweden into NATO, end quote. Empirical evidence shows the opposite. Not once has Biden commented on Erdogan's tango dance with the Swedish government, but he has, under greatest possible silence, left us alone to cope as best we can in the recent past. It is clear who led in that tango dance. It wasn't Ulf Kristersson in any case. Spoiler alert, it was Erdogan. But it can be differently now. Biden can show a good side if he wants to. It's just that, as an Irish American, he doesn't like us Swedes at all. But probably even an Irishman can like Swedes, but not him. Then I don't like him, and I will turn away my gaze when he is led screaming and kicking to the guillotine by his countrymen. The reactionaries always win in the long run. For being the world's most powerful man, he poorly realizes that Sweden has been one of the biggest guarantors that the US will remain the master of the world. By our support purchase of US security bonds and us consistently refraining from selling them when the dollar has been under attack. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what we've done for the United States. But ingratitude is the wages of the weak. Now a question. Are the Swedes prepared to contribute with troops in a future American war in the Middle East? For example, against Saudi Arabia and, in the extension, China. Are the Swedes prepared for a two-front war? Then we should join NATO. Otherwise, we will probably have to fight Russia alone. But we will win against Russia, mind you. Personally, I do not want to join NATO, because I think it will create greater strain on us in the long run. One must not forget that we have a domestic, quote, situation to deal with simultaneously. Of our two supposed choices, it is only an all-out Swedish war against Russia on Swedish soil that can straighten up our backbone and make, quote, our criminals listless, which means that in that case, we can turn the tide in Sweden. Also, remember that the Swedish NATO membership in no way provides any guarantees that we will be able to stay out of a war against Russia in the event of a major war. An American war against one or more actors is in the long run inevitable unless the Gulf states change their mind, because China gets most of the oil from the Persian Gulf oil states, and the US has domestic oil for perhaps only 12 more years of consumption, if you are to believe the CIA World Factbook 2023 to 2024. I don't think it's possible to achieve, but if the US were to run its motor park and its many fossil fuel power plants on domestic oil alone, that time would almost be halved to only 6 years of consumption. It has become more difficult to calculate precisely because the CIA has deliberately made it so in the CIA World Factbook 2023 to 2024 compared to previous editions of the book. Maybe you can thank me for that. It is established in the CIA World Factbook that Saudi Arabia, just like Iran, and every other oil-producing country in the Persian Gulf, does more business with China than with the United States. Saudi Arabia has literally extended a hand to Iran recently. They are suicidal. It's clear as hell that it has the potential to overturn the US original game plan. But in that case, it's not the ties that are moved alternate. The whole board game is likely to change. My name is Roger Klein. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.